Amen. All right. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. Continuing on our series in Revelation. Revelation 18. And if you're able to, please stand as we read God's Word. Revelation 18, beginning with verse 17. Revelation 18, beginning with verse 17. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and the sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just remain standing for a word of prayer. Dear God, we pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee. And we pray that we could learn something from this passage here in Revelation. We recognize it's talking about end times, but we can see things shaping up to be that in these days. Pray that thou would help us, each one, to be prepared, those of us that know thee, to be living for thee, and those that do not know thee, or those that are not saved today, the hearing this message, that they could understand and come to recognize they need to be saved. Why? Because we're sinners. That's something we do know about. We might not know that there's a heaven, know there's a hell. We certainly know that we're sinners, and we need to be forgiven. We need atonement for our sins. So we pray that thou would help us to, those of us that trust in thee, to continue on in that. We just continue to pray also for a pastor. And we know that you know that we need this, and we seek thee for that. In Christ's name, amen. All right, please be seated. Last time we were still in chapter 18, and we're still in 18 again. Covered a number of things. The usage of the word Babylon, referring to this harlot woman in chapter 17 and 18, talking about judgment. 17 and 18 is talking about the judgment to this harlot woman, Babylon, mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth, referring to a religious order that is also political and economical. Some people would like to distinguish chapter 17 as being the religious portion and chapter 18 being the political economic portion, but I don't see that distinction. What throws them off, I believe, is verse 14 in chapter 17. And verse 14 really is just an abstract or a summary of what's about to happen in verse 18. And verse 14 says, These shall make war, these shall make war with the Lamb. That's even further, like in chapter 19. But the portion that, verse 15, verse 16, And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, up until this point, they were getting their privilege by being members of this religious order. They were getting privilege in their economic and political ventures, but all the while hating this mystery Babylon. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, that's verse 17 of chapter 17, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So these kings of the earth, 10 of them, are willing to submit or to give their authority over to this first beast of chapter 13, which for simplicity we name him the Antichrist. Even during Jesus' times, there were many Antichrists, and there have been, and there still are in the world today, many Antichrists. But there's this coming beast of chapter 13, the first beast. There's two beasts in chapter 13. The first beast is what we call the Antichrist, the second beast being the false prophet. And so we see that the false prophet works together with this mystery Babylon, this great whore, harlot woman, mystery Babylon. And so some folks, and right, probably a good reason to think this, when we talk about the kingdoms that are mentioned in Daniel, we believe that that next world empire was Rome, represented by the iron legs. Now, what are the iron and the clay that's mixed in the feet of that image? That's the situation we're in today. And who is that? Many people believe that's Rome and Islam, the Vatican State and the Islamic State working together since 1988 when Pope John Paul II started their alliance in Turkey when he entered into a mosque and began negotiations with Islamic State. So the Vatican State and Islamic State working together. And so some people say, well, this mystery Babylon is Rome. Well, you know what? The way things are going nowadays, it could actually be Babylon. You know how Saddam Hussein was starting to rebuild Babylon? And I'll tell you, like, things happen very quickly nowadays. I don't remember which prince, some Muslim fellow, has printed a building. It's I think it's a tourist information center or something in one of the Islamic countries. So he printed that off out of concrete with a 3D printer. And so nowadays, you can build a city pretty quickly. The Chinese have been building cities very fast. They were talking about this coronavirus that Chinese built this hospital in short order in 7 days. And that's becoming quite popular, to be building buildings in a short order. Who knows? We may find that the city Babylon itself could be revived. But the point is that all that's being described here really is referring to the Babylonian worship that has started with Nimrod back in Genesis. Book of Genesis, we read how Nimrod went out and built a city, and that spirit of anti-God religion and political and economic systems is very strong today. And so it could literally be Babylon, because Babylon, the fulfillment of scriptures, of the Old Testament scriptures, where she would never be inhabited again, has not really been fulfilled. And so we think that some of us think that chapter 18 is talking about when that'll actually happen, where the utter destruction of that city will happen. However, you know, we covered that last time. We were talking about the usage of the word Babylon, and Babylon is fallen, and what a great fall. Now, I mentioned that 10 of the kingdoms of this world will give their power unto this Antichrist. However, 3 of them will kind of rebel, and that Antichrist will take over 3 of them in short order. But we're told that this will all happen in 1 hour. In verse 12 of 17, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And so we see that many people even today are calling for, we need one man to rule. We need one man so that there will be peace on earth. Well, the one thing that's characteristic of this harlot woman, the Hur of Babylon, is that she is full of the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all that are slain upon the earth. In our verse for the week is verse 20 of chapter 18. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Rejoice over her, thou heaven. And so who's in heaven? The believers that have been caught up. Chapter 4 of Revelation, the believers that have been caught up to be with Christ, and those that were alive, and then those that had resurrected. And so we see that this is calling for those in heaven. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles, and representative of the church age, and prophets, representative of the Old Testament age, rejoice. All of you rejoice, because, you know, the plea or the call in chapter 6 had been chapter 6, verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said of them, unto them, that they should rest yet a little while, or a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so that's chapter 6, and we see that when the Antichrist came in, you can't buy or sell. It's coming up that you won't be able to buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast, and believers won't be taking that, and so they will die. And so many will die. And we see that, like, actually now in communist China, they're bringing in what they're calling social credit. I won't go into too much depth about that, but anyway. And so they are monitoring children right from birth, right on to where all their actions are monitored. And if they don't comply with with what is considered to be virtuous, then they will be restricted in what they can, where they can go and what they can purchase and how they can live. So very, very powerful use of, abuse of computers and computerization. And so these things are happening very quickly. And so anyway, the Great Hur, the Babylonian religion, is a supersessionist religion. They believe that Israel has no part as a nation. Now, you might be surprised. Well, they're recognizing Israel. You know, the world is still recognizing. Well, the Bible scripture tells us that that's what's going to do. That's what they're going to do. The Antichrist is going to double cross. We'll make a peace agreement with the nation of Israel, only for the express purpose of double crossing them. The New World Order has tried to destroy Israel in the past. I mean, including all the way back to Egypt, the Egyptian Pharaoh, and World War II with Hitler and. And so different ones have tried to destroy Israel. Yom Kippur War with the Soviet Union, the communist Russians, believe they had a 12-1 odds against Israel, and they were going to utterly destroy Israel in 1973 and failed to do that miserably. So now their tactic, according to the scriptures, they're going to make peace with Israel. Well, we're all friends. And Israel's going to fall for it as a nation, because they are far from God right now. They're in idolatry and all kinds of Babylonian type worship. And so even though the Babylonian religion believes that they are the replacement of the nation of Israel, Israel is going to fall for their inducement. It's going to fall for this harlot religion inducing them to join with them. And then that Antichrist, 3.5 years into that agreement, will double cross them and believe that he'll be able to destroy all of them. However, God says that there will be a third remnant that he will... Remember in chapter 12? How descriptive is that? We don't exactly know what all that's referring to, but that dragon, when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's talking about Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that remnant, you'll still see that there's that remnant, but God will protect them because they will then look upon the one whom they had pierced, the Lord Jesus Christ, and recognize that he is their Messiah that they have rejected all this time as a nation. Individual Jewish people are getting saved even today, but as a nation, they are against the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in chapter 18, in verse 1 and 2, is telling us about the prediction of the fall of Babylon. We read about verse 3 about her seductive ways. For all the nations have drunk of the wine. That's 18, verse 3. All the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Don't forget what we read in chapter 17, verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That's coming up. Like, burn her with fire is in verse 18 of chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 18. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? So God uses these kings of these 10 kingdoms. Verse 17 says, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. So he's actually going to use them to bring judgment against this world religion and economic and political system. So don't forget, like, even though all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, they hate her. They hate her. And don't we see that? No honor among thieves. Mom and I went down, we drove down to 8 Mile Ranch in Kelowna just for a Sunday afternoon drive. I don't know if it was Sunday afternoon, whatever. We drove down, coming in there, and we see, oh my, it's full of motorbikes. So we got to the gate there, and so it was bikers, Christian bikers or something. They wear wet yellow. Is it called Christian bikers? Something like that. And so they were at the gate. So I thought, oh, maybe it's a Christian bikers meeting. So they said, are you sure you really want to be here? This is the Hell's Angels party. And I said, oh, well, then why are you guys here? And they said, well, because Hell's Angels don't trust one another to collect the fee at the gate. So they hired us to be collecting the fee at the gate. So... So we just went in and turned around a bit. But, I mean, just the little bit that we saw there was just disgusting. They all hate one another. I mean, they're just, there's no honor among thieves. They can't trust one another. And that is in our government. I was going door to door with a brother in Kelowna, and he was a lawyer. He passed away recently. And we stopped off at Wendy's, and here one of his colleagues was there, and he was quite surprised because this colleague, he'd never seen him outside without a suit on. And so here his colleague lawyer was playing the weekend biker, you know, all tattooed up and vest and the whole thing. So many people in business right now and in government live double lives. They are drunk with the wine or the wrath of this mystery Babylon's fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So that's the effect of this harlot's seductive ways. Then there's a plea to God's people in verse 4. We've covered that once before too. The plea is, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And so at this time, it's talking about Jewish people, because right now the church is already gone. In chapter 4, we're gone. But here there's, as I mentioned in chapter 12, there will be people that will be accepting Christ at this time. And so the call is for them to come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues, of her plagues. And so then a reward, verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Remember back in chapter 15 about the cup of God's wrath being filled up? And we know what that's like. I mean, your parents will tolerate a little bit of disobedience, maybe, but that cup of wrath is filling up, and there's a limit. And children might push their parents to that limit, and then, okay, that's time for corrective measures. And so it is with God. Right now, his cup of wrath is being filled up against these that are living in hatred towards God. And then in chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, the reward for that Babylon will receive, she'll receive a double punishment. Verse 6, "Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow." She says, "I sit a queen and am no widow." Now, some believe that when she's saying, "I am no widow," might be a reference to the fact that God has given a writ of divorcement to Israel. And so this harlot religion believes that they have superseded Israel, and that Israel is a widow, and now she is the queen. She is in charge. But no, even divorcement is not annulment. God has given them a writ of divorcement because of their idolatry. He couldn't fulfill his responsibility to them if they have gone whoring into idolatry. And so he gave them a writ of divorcement for a time, set them aside for a time, and they are now going to, this is their judgment for Israel, the whole tribulation period. is really for the sake of Israel, because a remnant will come out of Israel. And so this harlot religion and political and economic system is saying that she sits as a queen. And just surprisingly, just amazing. You know, we've covered that before, and I won't go into it again, but remember how we talked about in the Old Testament, talks about people going off and worshiping the Queen of Heaven? It's pure idolatry. And the Vatican State, they are venerating their what they call their Queen of Heaven. And very much against that in the scriptures, that worship of this Queen of Heaven. And so the people that are affected by this fall are all these political and economic people. The New World Order right now is working to try to figure out how to do these 10. They're going to make 10 divisions in the earth. I've heard once that it'll be Canada, U.S., and Mexico as one state. However, I've also heard that North and South America together will be one state. That really shows how the European Union thinks very little of the New World, that they would consider putting North and South America as one state. But anyway, 10 divisions of the earth will be made, and there'll be 10 kings, three of which are going to resist the Antichrist, and they'll be put down by that first beast. But we can see how things can happen so rapidly. I just mentioned about 3D printing and how that's coming into architecture right now. But look at cryptocurrency, how quickly that came into a place. Cryptocurrency is a digital asset, an internet-based medium of exchange. It uses cryptographical functions to conduct financial transactions. Cryptocurrencies leverage that computer system blockchain technology to gain decentralization, transparency, and immutability. Beginning with the largest, we've got 10 of the most popular cryptocurrencies are Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Bitcoin Cash, Tether, Litecoin, EOS, Binance Coin, Bitcoin, Stellar, and Stellar. So Bitcoin, SV, and Stellar. The total value of the top 10 currencies as of last October was $194 billion, US dollars. That can happen very quickly. We talk about cashless, we still have cash, right? Many people, and me included, we do a lot with a card. And what do we have? We have a faith, we have a belief. Using a card is a belief that that there's an electronic signal somewhere that a merchant will acknowledge and recognize. I mean, if you have a coin in your hand, you can feel it, you can recognize it, and as you're going to buy a jug of milk, you could hand it to somebody, they could recognize it. There's not a whole lot of belief there other than belief that they can pass that on to somebody else. But an electronic signal, you know, one day, kind of happened to me this week with my email account. My password was compromised, they said. And so I'd have a new password. You just don't have any access. It's just like vaporware. It's gone. So many things can be gone in a short time. So I think that this 1 hour that they're talking about here in the scriptures can literally be 1 hour. Or even 1 day here in verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, and they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, 1 hour is thy judgment come. And so even that might even relate to that 1 hour that they received power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. And then they gave their power to the beast. Verse 11 of 18. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all tyen wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And slaves and souls of men. Can you imagine that system that they brought into communist China? That's over a billion people under that system right now. They're all enslaved to that ever. They're monitored. Every movement is monitored, and that's up and coming right now. It's a big deal for them that they feel that would be something they can apply to the whole world. And there are many people here in this country that think that that's a great idea. In fact, our own prime minister supports and promotes what the communist Chinese are doing. And so, and the fruits. Verse 14, and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in the ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, and in 1 hour is she made desolate. And there's the verse for the week. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. God hath avenged you on her. What does Jesus say? That's in Matthew 5:43. Well, before that, so Matthew 24:37, just relating to this thing here. Matthew 24:37-39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Many believers right now are being persecuted directly and physically or indirectly, like being refused employment, refused promotion, and many are being martyred somewhere right now as we speak in the world, tortured, martyred. But Jesus said in Matthew 5 43 to 45. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And you know, it may take our death or our persecution for an unbeliever or an enemy of us to recognize, why am I persecuting this person? Why am I still alive? The kind of lifestyle they're involved in, or even if they're living a good, even like a perfect like life, why would they be tortured? Why would they be persecuting believers? And they'll come to that. Many have come to that. I remember I shared that passed on a testimony of a friend of mine I went to Bible school with. He actually died of cancer several years ago. But his brother, you know, he had been witnessing to his family and under a lot of persecution. And his brother was hauling a load of logs to Grand Prairie. And he just all of a sudden broke down, stopped his truck right in the middle of the road and broke down sobbing. Why am I persecuting my brother? He's trying to do, give me something. And he said he refused to let, like he heard his brother talking, but he refused to let the words sink into his head. And he goes, I got to find out what it means to be saved. I got to find out.
Amen.
And I can't remember if he dropped his load of logs, took his load of logs to where he was going and came back, but he stopped at a place where he knew that there was somebody that knew the Lord, and he asked him, how can I be saved?
Praise God.
And he got saved, and he and his brother went to Quebec. They were from Drouville. They went to Quebec, and they were witnesses for so many years. They each got married, had raised families there, and were sharing the gospel with working in a plastics manufacturing and just desiring that their people of similar culture would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Love your enemies, because that may be what it takes to bring them to Christ. That's what our desire is, that all would be saved. Like the Lord Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I think we may just actually carry on with this next time, but just in just to conclude here, we'll go back to 1 Timothy 6 that we looked at last time. 1 Timothy 6. In conclusion, so many people putting confidence in the things of this world. And our life is such a short thing. It's a vapor that appears for a little while and vanisheth away, the scripture tells us. And that's what it is. The older we get, the more we realize it. And it's like, whoa, how quickly it comes and goes. But eternity is not a long time. Eternity is different.
Amen.
Okay? There's no boredom in eternity, because eternity is different. We're in time right now, but eternity is different. Just in closing, 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and that's talking about let's start from the first. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of the Lord and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So, you know, servants, if you're an employee, count your masters worthy of all honor. Okay, in verse 2, and they that have believing masters. Okay, that's wonderful to have a believing master. Let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and words, strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Wow, what an imagery of, what was his name? Alexander the Great. He said, all my wealth is going to be strewn out, like, and would carry, because he knew he was dying. So he told him, take all my gold and jewels and everything, and the path that you're going to carry my coffin, have it all for you to tramp on. And he had his hands sticking out of the coffin to demonstrate that he was leaving this world with nothing. Having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money, not money. Money is a mechanism that God has demonstrated in the Old Testament, New Testament, is a wonderful tool that he's given to us. But it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. But verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And so, we'll carry on next time with this chapter 18 and rejoice, because God hath avenged you. Rejoice over her, meaning the judgment of her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Let's just bow forward to prayer. Dear God, we pray that thou dismiss us with thy goodness. Help us to keep this in mind, not to be wrapped up in the things of the world, and realize how short our life is, how important things are, to be reading thy word, to be in communication, praying without ceasing, communicating with thee, being directed by thy Holy Spirit, and being loving one another, caring for those that you've entrusted to us, whether we're parents or children, obeying our parents and doing the tasks that you've assigned for us, and being good employees, and just being faithful in all aspects of our life, bring honor and glory to thee, that they might see our good works and glorify thee, which is in heaven, not us, but thee, and recognize that you are in control of all things. And we honor thee and praise thee this day, dear God in heaven. And for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to scriptures, and is soon coming again, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What did I do? I put it close. It might still be going.